Hello, once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Major League Baseball kicked off for its 2013 season this week with the near-perfect pitching, big hits, big wins. The L.A. Dodgers' Clayton Kershaw pitched a complete shutout in his first outing of the season, not to mention his walk-off home run to win the game. The powerhouse New York Yankees, depicted on the cover of the New Yorker as geriatric patients, very tastefully, lost to their rival Boston Red Sox. But the New York Mets won their opening salvo with a commanding 11-2 win over the San Diego Padres, which in fact is the Mets' quota of runs for April. Also this week, the country is gearing up for NCAA championship men's basketball and women's basketball. The final four teams in the men's tourney scheduled to play Saturday. The championship set for Monday in the women's brackets. Baylor, a big favorite, lost already to Louisville. We're now in a situation where Louisville could win the men's and the women's. It's very exciting stuff. Joining us now to talk about all this is no stranger to these airwaves. Heard here on Northeast Report each Wednesday afternoon. Keith Strudler is chair of the Communication Department at Marist College and director for the Marist College Center for Sports Communication. Keith, welcome back to the show.
It is a pleasure to be here.
Also, our own manager and general manager and president and everything else the baseball team has. It's Alan Shartok, and he's no stranger to sports, although he's a bit strange about
sports. Although he doesn't know anything.
Well, you know
what you really mean.
You know a little bit. You know enough to root for the Mets. Call us now, 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551 is the number. You can also post comments at the bottom of today's show page on the Vox Pop section of our website, wamc.org/VoxPop. You can comment below today's Vox Pop wall post on our Facebook page, Facebook.com/WAMC Radio, or you can tweet your questions and comments at WAMC Vox Pop. That's a long introduction.
It is, but you could just email us, can't you? Just email us at WAMC.
I don't know.
There are pigeons flying overhead that I saw.
So, carrier pigeons. So, Keith, let's talk first about basketball. So, I guess you and I were talking before the show started. It's not unheard of that a men's team and a women's team could win in the same year. Connecticut did it, right?
And so Louisville could do it. I don't think they will.
You don't think Louisville?
No, they had a huge upset, and they played very smart against a superior Baylor team, really a one-person show, and a Baylor team that was coming to win a second title with Brittany Griner. And the strategy was basically, attack Brittany Griner. And that's the smart way to do it. So they pushed her out. They kept her from scoring early on. They frustrated her. She's 6'10". I mean, she's not the size of the rest of the athletes, but that was their plan. They were going to push her out of the circle. They said if she gets inside the circle, she's going to score. Because if she doesn't score the first time, she's going to grab her own rebound and score. So they did a pretty good job. They fouled her. They frustrated her. It's kind of like the way I play against real athletes.
Yeah.
You just foul the heck out of them.
Right.
Yeah, until they take a swing at you.
So, it's funny. You're talking about money and the money in these programs. So the big names in men's college basketball, also well represented on the short list of teams left in the women's tourney.
That's right. It's everyone, but everyone is a FBS football program, with the exception of Wichita State, and they only are in there because Ohio State makes it a point to upset their fans as much as possible when they get to an important game. And so Wichita State's there. But Wichita State, for all their small market team, they pay their coach a lot. They're $1 million coaching job. So they're not the traditional. This isn't Siena, Marist, one of the schools that real small market team.
What does FBS mean?
The football bowl subdivision. So these are teams that what we used to call 1A football. The teams the big teams that play for the big national championship versus the Division I schools that play in that little playoff thing, the Appalachian States, that actually get to play a real playoff, but it's not as publicized.
But everybody in New York has to root for Syracuse here, right?
I can't stand.
Oh, you can't.
Sorry.
No, you're a Miami fan?
No, so I'm a Gator fan, but I did my undergraduate at Cornell, which is a wonderful place. And if you go to college in upstate New York and you're not at Syracuse, you have a vehement hatred for the Syracuse Orange because I stole this from a friend of mine. If there is a nuclear attack on Syracuse, on the United States, this would be a horrible, an unfortunate situation. We're talking about it with North Korea. But if there's a nuclear attack on the United States, the Syracuse local broadcast would lead off with a nuclear attack on the United States. We'll talk about how that affects tonight's game against Seton Hall.
They have
no sense of perspective.
I want Syracuse to win, and I'm not ashamed to admit it.
Why?
Because they're going to go on probation next year, so you want to enjoy it while you
can. Why are they going on probation?
Well, they have launched some very serious investigations, and they have just for, as they like to call, serious.
Like what? What did they do?
They haven't disclosed yet, but they've made it very clear that this is systemic.
Does this tie into Fab Mello last year? I don't recall what exactly happened. He wasn't there.
Fab Mello wasn't necessarily a real student,
that's a whole other issue.
It's supposedly part of the package, but apparently the allegations are going to be long and far reaching. Will be primarily for the basketball program, but also the football program as well. Which it raises the question: if you're cheating that much, why can't you win more games?
How much does their coach make?
Jim Boeheim. I don't have a number on it, but I'm assuming it's a lot.
He's not a Hall of Famer, or should
be. Yeah,
anyway.
He's not in the top three or so, because that's Calipari and Krzyzewski are up in that, $4 million, $5 million range. But I'm sure he's a couple
Krzyzewski
million.
Krzyzewski with a Y or an I?
It's with a K.
It's a K.
Krzyzewski.
Coach K.
There's a Y's and I's in it.
No, but I mean the last vowel is very important.
Well, why don't we Google this?
I don't know. I don't know.
I've never spelled it. Search engines.
This is radio.
Yeah. Let's go to the phone, shall we? It's Kerry in Plainfield. Kerry, you're on.
Hi, how you doing, guys?
Hey.
Yeah, there's one thing I want to question, and I'm not going to just talk about baseball, but pro sports in general, okay? I enjoy NFL especially, but something I always questioned is the violence in sports. The bench empties out, you see fists flying, bats flying, everything's going. I was watching hockey the other day, the guy got knocked out, they were showing the highlights. There's always police officers and security at these games. I never see an arrest made. Is it just part of the game?
There have been some in the NBA, right, when players have gone into the stands.
Yeah, well, whether it's in the stands or on a court or on a field or so. I mean, an assault is an assault. And I'm a retired police officer in Massachusetts.
So, in Philly, they had a prison. They had a jail cell in the old vet, in the old stadium, the football stadium. It was for the fans.
Yeah, but I'm not saying the fans get arrested. The players can beat each other up and the police just watch it.
Now, this actually, there has been a case, and I forget the player now, who knocked out a vicious hit in hockey where it was up in Canada. The DA actually went after the hockey player.
I remember that.
Yeah, and so there have been some cases, but it's a weird thing where you operate under a different code of laws. We always say, if I walked out into a parking lot and grabbed a giant rock and threw it at Alan's head, I'd get arrested.
You're arrested, right?
And if I do it in the stadium, in a baseball stadium, they call it a good aggressive pitching. So
exactly.
Very nice.
So that's
a good point, though, Kerry. Thank you for calling.
Okay.
And if you're scoring at home now, Keith has talked about nuclear attacks on central New York and throwing rocks at Alan's head.
I wanted to know something from Keith. Didn't you just do a big study?
We did.
What happened?
So we did it. We did a big study. that was it. You got it.
Very nice.
That's the headline. We partnered, the Marist Center for Sports Communication partners with the Marist Poll.
Lee Meringoff, proprietor.
Absolutely. We're the greatest polling organization in the world, as we like to think. And we partnered together to do polls on important sports issues, so things that go beyond the games. And we did one recently that we released last week on college sports. And we looked at kind of the ethical issues in college sports. The big question was, did people think that we should pay college athletes, which is, a hot-button topic? And resoundingly, people said no.
Sure
72%. Of course they should. 72% of the public said no. Only 22% said yes. And now you look at that in juxtaposition to we asked them, should college coaches get paid as much as pro coaches? Almost half said they should get paid as much or more as their pro counterparts. So people like this myth of amateurism where you don't pay the players and they're amateurs. In fact, 95% said they have to go to class.
So why do you say myth of amateurism?
Because
it's huge business.
Because they just did it.
I know. I'm giving them.
Throw me a bone.
For God's sake.
That was a great setup, too.
All right, fine. Continue. Pretend I'm not here.
Because Drexel University just put out a study that said the Louisville basketball players right now are each generating $1.6 million per year. That's what they're worth, $1.6 million per year. So we know that they're generating revenue. We know that the stage they play on mocks and looks like a professional stage, but we like to make it look like they're amateurs.
These guys graduate?
Some of them.
Well, but has anybody ever done that?
Oh, yeah,
study?
They do graduation rates. Yeah. 50, 60.
Some of the schools are good.
Some are good.
Some, like the Gators, not so good.
No,
right?
The Gators do okay.
Wait a second. You went to Gatorville, right?
I did. I did graduate school at the University of Florida.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That's what my degree says. And so they do okay. It's the most expensive piece of paper you can buy.
Yeah.
So the no, they do all right. And, you know, they've gotten better. And I think, you know, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, they started publishing these numbers. And I remember two schools, Cincinnati and Houston, had a 0.0 graduation rate for their basketball team.
Wow.
And so that kind of made them change the rules on how they calculate this a little bit.
Well, I want to talk, we're going to take a break here, and I want to talk a little bit about baseball and sort of get your take on whether this, in fact, is the death spiral for professional baseball as far as America's pastime. We'll talk more coming up. Your phone calls as well. I'm asking the expert. If you want to chime in, that's fine. 1-800-348-2551 is the number.
Support for WAMC comes from Mango Tree Imports, Boston Spa, New York, a locally owned fair trade retail store featuring spring accessories and home accent pieces, open 7 days a week, first Fridays until 9 p.m., mangotreeimports.com. Don Muller Gallery, Northampton, Massachusetts, hosting its annual bridal jewelry show featuring engagement rings and wedding bands, April 6th and 7th, donmullergallery.com. Joyo's Jewelers, Del Mar, New York, specializing in custom jewelry and repair, laser welding, designer jewelry, and gifts, joyosjewelers.com. And Ashokan Center, Olive Bridge, New York, a classroom in the wild, helping schools, organizations, and individuals reconnect with nature, history, and the arts. Ashokancenter.org.
Oh, the fun we have. Alan Shartok is here, and Keith Strudler. I'm Ray, and it's Sports Day today. It's opening week for baseball and the NCAA championships and basketball. It's a fun time to have Keith here, and always fun to talk sports with Alan. Now, baseball.
That wasn't sarcastic.
No.
No.
I was being sincere. Baseball is back. The Yankees are in trouble. They have huge contracts that they can't escape. And and Exhibit A is A-Rod. What do you do with A-Rod?
I don't know, but when I watched the Yankees this year, for those five of us that watched that final Rocky movie, the Rocky Balboa, where it was like a victory tour, and he walked out and he raised his hand,
yeah.
This whole Yankees thing feels a little bit like a reunion Def Leppard concert, where they're getting together and people are just watching them walk out the door, and they're limping out the door for a lot of money.
Yeah.
What's Def Leppard?
It was an 80s rock. They made
okay.
A, you go, you watch fan. The, they have oh. A little doc, a rockumentary about them.
Okay, then.
Yeah. It's also very unfortunate. Fortunate rock band.
Post Weavers.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, then.
So, but they're in the classic rock section at this point. Just
okay.
To,
yeah. Oh, great. Okay.
So the Yankees are in trouble. The Yankees are desperately trying to get down to that magic number, the 189 number next year. They're trying to get their payroll down so they get under the new luxury tax that's going
to
be installed.
Oh, they have
year.
To pay more if they have a
50%.
They're going to have the league has finally gotten a little serious about protecting the small markets,
right.
And keeping the big markets from spending themselves into oblivion. Protecting this is like, you know, putting a kid in a candy store and saying eat all you want. They're finally putting
yeah.
You know, some protection.
And
on
it's
that.
A huge that's number, great. 189 million. I mean, the Mets aren't even close to. And, you know, they're probably not within 70 million of that right now.
But
they're
the
still
off. Are. Yankees are
yeah.
Over it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But, I mean, this is, I think, why the NFL is becoming so ascendant now, because they have successfully put this salary cap in place, and there's tremendous parity all over the league. The Giants might be good, or you know, heaven help us, someday Kansas City might be good.
Yeah.
So, in other words, there is an even playing field to some yeah. Extent.
And I happen to like the NBA model, where they have kind of a soft cap, where you have to stay under a number, but it allows you to keep your franchise players.
I have no idea.
You have a star exemption or something
you,
of that.
You can keep your star player because you're always allowed to go above the cap number. The cap is soft. You can't reach out and grab someone, but if you have someone, you can make your cap higher to keep players. And this lets teams that have star players keep those players for long periods of time to build something of a dynasty if you can, or have a team, you know, players stay around in a market for several years.
That doesn't sound right.
Well, I mean, if it's your player and you don't want a team to be good. Well, who did you like when you grew up?
Bob Cousy.
Okay. Well,
I grew up. Yeah, well, I grew up a long time ago.
Well,
Cousy was great, though.
Yeah.
Did you want him?
You know what? They always describe Cousy as a little guy, but he wasn't so little. He was little compared to some of the big guys.
But he was big compared to me. Sure, but you were in the NBA. But did you want him to leave because they couldn't afford to keep him under the current contract?
Yes.
You wanted him to leave?
He's just being a contrarian.
Curmudgeon.
Yes. Welcome to my world. It's a Vox Pop, 1-800-348-2551. Let's go to Jonathan in Chicopee. Jonathan.
Yes, hello.
Hi. You're on.
I'm on.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm very concerned about the fact that NCAA players are totally improperly compensated for the vast revenues they bring into their schools. It just isn't right. I mean, this just simply doesn't pass the smell test. 1.6 million, I heard you say, is often brought in by any NCAA basketball player. We've got to do something. You know, this is totally unfair. There's no union. This is not generally a way into the NBA. There's only 30, in terms of the men anyway, I'm not sure about the women. There's only about 35 players that go into the NBA every year. And many of them don't come from our colleges. They come from high schools, and they wait a year and get in. They come from other countries. So this is, you know, only the very, very best of those college players ever have a chance to make something out of their...
Okay, so if you're going to change the rules, Jonathan, what do you want to do? I mean, what's the Jonathan rule?
You know, I don't know about you, Helen, but when I was in school, I worked for the school, and I got paid for it. I worked in the cafeteria.
Yep.
I did research, you know...
Yep. No, I didn't do anything like that because I went to a free school. But I didn't do that
because I was lazy.
Yeah, but I did.
Well, I mean,
that's why you're in sports today.
But I did take a job once in Saks Fifth Avenue, an inventory time, counting cashmere underwear.
Okay.
Okay. Back to Jonathan from Chicopee. Jonathan.
Yeah, I think that it's not unprecedented that we pay students to work for the university. Working for the university could be playing basketball for it if you're good enough to do that.
Here's the NCAA's argument. I'm not saying I believe in this argument. The NCAA says, and the NCAA does a much better job messaging than a bunch of 19-year-old kids who just want to go out and have fun and play basketball. And that's
one second. The NCAA is the
National Collegiate Athletic Association.
Okay. All right.
And they do a really job sending out their message. In fact, they put out PSAs during their broadcast with their broadcast partner saying, you know, most of these athletes will go out and become professional in something other than sports. And they really highlight the fact that they think that these are all student athletes. That's a term they phrase, student athlete. Yeah. They want you to think of that kid who's making millions of dollars for Louisville as a student. So that's the way we think it. So the NCAA's argument is going to say, but look, they're getting $100,000, $200,000 free education. And then they'll also hide behind kind of some of the they'll use a lot of red herrings. They'll say, well, if we're going to pay them, how are we going to pay the swimmer at Idaho? Or what happens to Title IX? How are we going to get around Title IX?
These are all valid things to bring up, yes?
You know, there are jobs to be had. And when you attract an audience, you create revenue. And therefore, that should be paid. If you playing a sport like I did, track and field, and you don't have an audience, well, then you're not really doing anything to
earn the money.
Earn your money. So
but I'm worried about this because I'm concerned that if those guys hurt themselves while they're playing, and I heard on NPR the other day that they only get 1 year. The one-year scholarships.
This is a one-year renewable.
Right.
There's no guarantee.
Oh, right. Interesting. So if they hurt themselves and they can't go on to this multi-million dollar career, you know, in the NBA, that's the National Basketball Association.
Very nice.
If they don't go on to do that, and they hurt themselves, that's tough noogies, right?
What is NPR again?
Jonathan, thanks a lot for the call. Well, this is very interesting. And, of course, it brings up the gruesome injury. The gruesome injury to the kid from Louisville.
Kevin Ware,
on Sunday.
Yeah.
And, gosh, that was a horrible
thing. So I'll tell you a little story about that. And you may or may not find it interesting. I was watching that game on a cell phone because I promised my two wonderful young children that we would go to the New York City car show on Saturday, which is fantastic if you like cars, and awful if you're trying to watch two small children. So we went to the Javits Center, and I watched the Florida game, which was, you know, really disturbed me on my cell phone. And in the car ride home, while my wife was driving, I watched the Duke-Louisville game. And I, you know, because I'm trying to be a father, I stopped watching for a little while, and I turned back and looked at Sloan, who was also watching a game on another cell phone.
Of course.
And I was trying to talk to them, and I turned back, and I saw what what looked like a funeral on the screen.
Yeah,
and
crying.
I saw Rick Pitino. These coaches are, you know, they're pretty, they've seen a lot. They're fairly stoic individuals. And the team was crying.
Yep.
And I looked at my wife and I said, I've never seen anything like this. I think someone's dead. And I thought someone had either had a heart attack,
yeah,
fallen from the stands. I mean, this would look like a worst case scenario. And Kevin Ware broke his leg in a Joe Theismann-esque,
yep,
situation. And look, I don't know what kind of professional career he has in front of him, but let's say this. He could have died out in that court. And beyond that, it looks like he's going to be okay. The reality is we'll never know what the quality of his life may or may not be if that had been a little bit worse. Was the NCAA prepared to compensate him for that? You know, if
my point exactly.
I said this to my students. If a Bunsen burner, I don't know if they use those in science. I mean, my kids don't take science anyway. They take, you know, something that where you look at stars.
Touchy-feely.
Yeah. But if a Bunsen burner blows up in your face at, let's say, Quinnipiac, because we don't want to say that would ever happen at Marist.
No.
That blows, you're going to sue Quinnipiac. Right? If that Bunsen burner...
Not necessary.
He could not. What are you suggesting? Basketball players or football players who get hurt could sue? I mean...
I'm saying they can't because they've signed off their life when they go
couldn't.
Play basketball.
I mean, you go into a physical activity like this.
I'm saying that they are not compensated for what they do and they take unusual risk.
Yeah. So. Well, it was gruesome to see. My wife and I were actually shooting pool and I turned away from the game to miss my shot and turned back, and thankfully they did not show it over and over again like they did the Theismann play, which they showed 312 times. So let's go back to the phones. Suzanne in Dutchess County. Suzanne, you're on.
Hi. I don't know anything about sports by comparison to these people that you have speaking.
Well,
but I have noticed that with the basketball and Syracuse is like the one thing that's very important here at my home, and I certainly do hope they win. My husband, didn't play sports in when he was at Syracuse in '66, but he's just like really loyal fan. And with that in mind, I still think that all these colleges that are so big like that in their sports, well, I don't care if it's football or basketball, shouldn't have these programs at all. I would do away with all of the programs that are of that kind of size. I don't see why you go to college to be a star and learn basketball. Go to basketball college. You know, you want to go to ESPN should have a college. You know, and they could have their own league. And I heard that that basketball is going to have like something like a AAA league, and that will provide a place for some of these kids who really want to play basketball and are really good, but they're not really, you know, they're not NBA yet. Maybe some of them will be, and they can play in this AAA league, and you can call it whatever you want, and then you can still have schools that are really into their basketball, put a lot of money into it, but not a crazy amount. Not 10 times or 40 times what they put in their tennis program or their swimming program.
Yeah.
You know, I know someone who, I just happen to know about William and Mary, their women's tennis team. One girl is from Australia, one girl's from the Netherlands, one's from Germany, one has a Russian background but went to high school in the United States, one's from Great Britain, and one's from Washington, D.C., or I don't know whether I got it exactly right. But I'm just saying, these are scholar athletes, and only one of them really is from America, and a lot of money is spent on that team and moving them around, but a lot of money is spent on all the teams there.
Okay.
You know, and I'm okay with that. But I want to, if you're going to go to school, it's hypocritical to ask these schools. It's gone too far apart.
All right.
You know, they have to lie and they have to do things like they're going to get in trouble, like Connecticut couldn't play this year because they're in trouble for the things that...
But they could play. They just can't play in the. They couldn't play in the men's NCAA tournament.
Okay. Right. But you know what I mean.
Thanks a lot for the call. You know, I think there's another side to this, and the side is that some people who aren't basketball players are attracted to schools because, my God, this school has got a huge basketball program.
Florida Gulf Coast University. Wow, look at what they're doing now. Their enrollment's going to go up. But I would say that I hope there is a basketball college and the tuition's low because my son would love to go there.
Basketball college?
Yes, he would love to go to a basketball.
Well, I don't think you have to worry.
Yeah.
but before we go into that, what about high school? You know, if you advance this argument now, that colleges should pay their athletes, you know, the rest of it. Some of these high schools, I mean, who didn't see Hoosiers or whatever?
Wasn't
that high school?
It was high school. Friday Night Lights is probably a better example. Hoosiers was a small high school.
Yeah, well, but it was high school.
Yeah. Well, so they don't generate a lot of revenue, though. The high schools outside of Texas, and even that, because
Texas,
they spend so much money on their football programs, it's hard to make. Without television, it's hard to make money on sports.
Yeah, and that's what soccer's problem is, I think, in this country, as far as it taking off. It's not a very good TV
sport.
Well,
they just don't score a lot. What? And that makes it really tough to watch.
Are there not enough TV timeouts? Yeah, I mean, isn't that the bottom
that's
line?
That's part of the problem.
All right, the number to call is 1-800-348-2551 is the number. That's 1-800-348-2551. Interesting to get a call from California. Hey, Carl in Lafayette, California, you're on. Hello.
Hi there, thank you.
Hi.
Keith, I understand you like the soft cap.
That is true.
Yes, I'm sure, but... Isn't that just encourage the large market teams to ignore the cap and pay to keep their superstars to the detriment of the small market?
I agree with you, Carl. I agree with you.
Me too. I try to raise that very point earlier.
And Carl, where are you from?
I'm from Lafayette,
right,
California.
Which is near which city?
San Francisco.
San Francisco. Now, they have a pretty expensive baseball team. Do you root for that baseball team?
Well, that goes back to the hard caps. Problem in baseball.
Uh-huh. But have you gone to any of the San Francisco Giants games?
Yes, I do have season tickets for the Giants.
So,
I see.
So you benefit from this system from which you denounce and detest, yet you benefit from it.
I benefit, but I went to those games when the Giants weren't very good.
Yeah, I like this. I think sports are built around letting their fans get to know their athletes. You know, and perhaps in a previous generation, athletes used to be more integrated into their communities. You know, I grew up in Houston. Akeem Olajuwon was my basketball player. He played there. He lived there.
Yeah.
He was my guy.
Yeah, but the day those people want to trade that guy, they're going to trade him. And that so like a piece of meat. You know, this is the slavery system being, you know, reinstituted. So what is this business about? You can trade anybody. On the one hand, you're arguing this is my guy. But someday they say, I can make money. I need money. I'm going to trade the guy.
They did. They traded him. Now,
my point.
They did. But you know what? He made probably somewhere $15, $20 million a year for a long time. They can move me for that amount.
Well, Carl, thank you for calling and making Keith upset. We appreciate it very much. Thanks a lot for the call. Let's go to another Carl now, and this one is closer to home, perhaps. Carl in Palatine. Carl, you're on.
Hello, how are you? What a fantastic show you're doing.
Oh, thank you.
Yes? Is there a reason why someone can earn $16 million for swinging a bat or catching a ball? That can be related to anything else in terms of the education system?
Absolutely, there is. There's absolutely.
What do you mean, absolutely?
Well,
how dare you?
It is an entertainment business. Johnny Depp makes $16 million at a drop of a hat.
For a movie.
It's capitalism. It's what the market will dictate. If people will pay $58 to go sit down at Yankee Stadium.
Could you please explain what the Kardashians mean in terms of what you're saying?
Kardashians.
Kim Kardashian.
I don't know, the whole Kardashian thing.
I think Bobby Knight once said, you know, I'll start listening to the professors when 16,000 people line up to watch a math class. And so,
that's what's wrong with this country. That's why we're so far behind in math.
Well, Bobby Knight did get fired eventually anyway.
Yeah,
so
he was stupid.
But it is.
Can we possibly ever come back to what we were economically before Clinton gave up?
Oh boy!
Right.
Our economy to China.
Well, I think you're off topic, Carl, but thanks for
I would also, let's just on this notion, this quaint notion of what sports used to be, let's remember that colleges in the late 1800s, early 1900s started sporting programs because they made money. That's why Yale
put
up.
Is that right?
Oh, yes. In fact, they brought in ringers. They brought in people who weren't college students at all.
That wasn't right.
And the only reason the NCAA got formed was because Teddy Roosevelt didn't like the fact that his kid got beat up in a football game. So he brought together the presidents of Harvard, Yale, and Princeton and said, make this thing safe. And they formed something called the NCAA, which was formed simply and only to regulate the rules for college
football.
But
you don't think it's safe now. I mean, Teddy Roosevelt aside, it's not a safe game.
Oh, it's a horribly dangerous game.
If I were emperor, I would ban it.
Of course.
Football?
Yeah.
For our
own
safety.
You'd be a very popular emperor.
For our own safety. And Alan and I have had this argument time and again.
I would ban it. I would ban boxing.
Right.
I think it's a terrible sport.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Cars, you can get hurt in those, right?
Yeah, ban cars. Sure.
Airplanes.
Yeah. Fast food, you could go down with
sharp edges on tables.
Sodas and anything that we'll just sit in small cubicles.
Me sitting very close to my wife when I haven't done my laundry.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Check, please. Zach, let's take a break. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Ostensibly, we're talking sports. We may or may not continue.
Support for WAMC comes from Skidmore College Master's Program, offering individualized graduate studies in a wide range of interdisciplinary fields. Masters at skidmore.edu. Springfield Museum is presenting Festival of Flowers, April 4th through 7th, over 40 floral interpretations of museum objects, and special guest Ruth Loisau, White House florist, springfieldmuseums.org. Quality Foreign Car Care, Boston Spa, New York. Sales and service of Audi, BMW, Mercedes, Volvo, Saab, Volkswagen, and Porsche, QFCC.com. And Lake George Land Conservancy, Bolton Landing, New York. Presenting the Round the Lake Challenge, providing 30 missions to explore Lake George. LGLC.org.
That's good music, Ray Graff.
You like that?
Yeah, what is it?
That's Danny Gatton. It's called Slidin' Home. I put it on in...
Slide guitar.
I thought that was Def Leppard.
No, that was Danny Gatton, a great, long-lamented guitar player who is no longer with us. Number to call is 1-800-348-2551. Keith Strudler is here from Marist College Center for Sports Communication. Alan Chartok is here. From everywhere. And, baseball is underway. The basketball college championships are here. It's an exciting time, and the phone lines, well, they're jammed right now. But if you hear me hang up, give us a call. Brian in Saratoga Springs, you're on. Brian.
Hey, Ray, my head is spinning from the intensity and gravitas of these last few phone calls.
Indeed. Oh, well.
And I want to speak with you about the NHL and the Penguins specifically in their race for the Cup. But could I compliment you on how much I enjoy your banter with you and Joe in the morning?
Oh, thank you.
It is the funniest couple minutes ever.
Well, we appreciate that very much.
You're welcome. Listen, I just think the Penguins made a few trades, and I just wanted to say I think they look like the leading contender in my book for the Stanley Cup, and I just wanted to hear what Keith might have to say.
I mean, I got to tell you, I've watched zero hockey games this year. I thought they were still on lockout. So I'll admit to you, I know that Jaromír Jágr just got traded, but beyond that, I got to tell you, I'm not going to be the expert to tell you who's going to win the Cup.
So the Rangers, we have several Rangers fans here, and we've discussed the fact that they should have been great. And is it maybe the condensed schedule because of the lockout that have changed the dynamics, Brian? What do you think?
I don't know. They made a couple trades in the off season for Rick Nash, their so-called marquee player, and I think the bangers and grinders that they got rid of were so integral to the team. I think the whole chemistry has changed because you lost a couple guys from a couple different lines on the team, and the chemistry is, aside from Callahan and King Henrik in goal, I think they're having real problems. And also, I've heard many people say you have such a hard-nosed coach like Tortorella that just runs the guys dead. I mean,
yeah.
imagine coming to work and having Allen there with a yardstick, the least little thing that goes wrong on
does.
The air. You know,
he does.
He
That's
does. That's exactly how I get to work every day.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, Brian, thanks a lot for the call, my friend. We appreciate it. Yeah, I've seen Allen here.
I have no idea what he was talking about. What you guys?
I watched some
about.
College hockey, but that's pretty much it.
Well, I mean. The NHL continually shoots themselves. Maybe I should have kept Brian on the line. It shoots itself in the foot with endless strikes and lockouts. And every time you think they're getting momentum, they're the what is known as the fourth.
Oh, they're not.
The fourth.
No,
well,
they're not,
exactly.
Because NASCAR is.
Exactly. The fourth biggest professional sport. But they keep shooting themselves in the foot because.
They keep killing each other.
Because,
also.
Well, they think they're a big time sport. And so the players want to get paid like the basketball players, but they're not. They don't
but
have
they
that
could
that money.
Be a bigger sport if they had somebody at the top who could negotiate labor agreements that didn't end.
They had Marvin Miller.
Or even Miller's the guy who runs basketball. Or, you know, somebody, or what's his name in the NFL?
Ben Stern.
Not a huge fan of, but.
Well, Stern is Stern.
Goodell.
Goodell.
Yeah, Stern is great.
Stern is,
but
know,
relative labor.
They need to create some labor
stability.
Peace.
Yeah. Well, let's go to Steve and Beckett. Steve, you're on.
Yes, I love to believe where I think sport these days is a religion more than a visual aid. When you go to church in the morning, the Sundays in the fall, you leave church, you go home, you watch this professional football game.
Mm.
You know,
and I feel it's kind of like the sport is the, as Karl Marx has said, religion is the opiate of the masses, and now sport has taken that
good
place.
Yeah.
The so this was a I probably told this joke the last time I was here, but no one will remember. So there was a when I was living down in Florida, someone told me this. Trent Dilfer, who played quarterback, I think it was Trent Dilfer or Vinny Testaverde, whoever was there at that time. They said
in Tampa,
yeah. down for the Bucs. They said, let's say Testaverde. What do Vinny Testaverde and Billy Graham have in common? And I said, what? And they said, well, they're the only two guys that can get 75,000 people in Raymond James Stadium to stand up and yell, Jesus Christ.
Okay.
So,
terrible. That's awful.
That's awful.
That's just terrible.
So, but just because, 60,000 people, 60,000 people go to a large place and cheer and scream on a Sunday? That doesn't sound like religion to me at all.
But what really annoys me, as long as we're talking about what annoys me.
Oh, boy.
Every week.
That was the call, right?
Sunday night. Every Sunday night, I tune in for 60 Minutes. And a very serious program, very important program, probably the most important piece of journalism on the television. And inevitably, some guys are going around hitting each other.
Yeah. Oh, I see, because of the football. Hey, Steve, thanks a lot. I won't burden you with having to sit through this, but thanks for the call.
You know, one other point on that. In Houston, where I am from, when the Rockets moved to their new arena, to the Toyota Center, and they left the Compaq Center, which I still think of as the Summit, it was bought by a church. Lakewood Church, Joel Alstein's church. And in fact, and you looked at that and you said, well, how are they ever going to fill that? They actually expanded it.
Yeah. Well,
was the Toyota Center the same thing that used to be the Enron Center before that?
No, that's the baseball park.
I see. Yes.
Oh, that, yeah. And you know, Houston, speaking of Texas baseball, Houston is now in the American League.
They're undefeated.
They won their first game, right?
Or they
won
two.
They moved them from the National League to the American League.
How do they do that?
They realigned. Baseball has some issues, among them the designated hitter, which goes back to 1973.
Right. American League has a designated hitter.
Right, but Major League Baseball will tinker with things and schedules, and you have the Mets playing the Yankees seven times a year, and it drives me crazy. But one of the things that they did was move Houston to the American League.
Why?
Just to even the number of, I think, even
yeah,
the
I think
number
it was an even number
of
teams. There had been some realignments. Yeah. There had been, so
but Houston's
forth.
Having a tough time, and now they're in the American League, and I think they're...
It's not going to be any better. It's going to be just as bad. But they're playing money ball now. But, their entire, their entire payroll is less than A-Rod's.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
A-Rod makes more than all of Houston's team.
A-Rod is Alex Rodriguez for a few people who might not know.
Yes.
Correct. Evan in Troy. You're on, Evan.
It's Yvonne.
I apologize. I couldn't tell. I couldn't tell.
Yeah, Enron.
You
said
I know,
you forgot
they don't
your glasses.
Spell it right. My question is, when we looked at the Olympics, other countries had basketball and all these other things. What about how do they rate their schools and their professionals in terms of pay? Are we the only ones that just throw money at players, or do they? Or I mean, it can go down the line as okay, do they do the same thing with rugby, with cricket, with you know all that other stuff, or is it just us
so,
that spend a whole lot of money on players?
So there's two answers to that. One is
Schools and professionals and college level.
The short answer to that is, yeah, they overpay their athletes, and their soccer players are paid heroically, although they call them football players over there. That's the short answer to that. And it's free market, and they get paid large sums of money. The question about schools and amateur athletics is a little bit more, you know, a little bit more confusing because they don't operate their training system like we do. In America, we operate training for sports through schools, and they're amortized through the public school system, through colleges and universities, which is how we have this unpaid labor force. Over there, it's all done through clubs. And so so they actually don't. So the caller that asked earlier, can we ever get this out of schools? Well, they have. Over in Europe, they've separated it from the school system. And so it is very different. However, I will also say this. The Olympic programs in foreign countries are largely government subsidized, and which is very different than how we operate it here in America, where they are supported by essentially industry and free enterprise. So, you know, the speed skaters and all those athletes who practice for years and years to go to the Olympics, they're largely subsidized by the government. So it really depends. You know, everyone pays for sports one way or another, whether you do it through a government subsidy for your Olympic team or whether you're paying it through your school taxes. You're kind of paying one way or another.
Yvonne, thanks a lot for the call. Let's go to Maxine in Monroe. Hi, Maxine.
Hi. I just happened to catch this, and I thought this is a good chance to have a perennial question answered.
Uh-huh.
Occasionally when talking about on other topics, Alan says something about a Hail Mary pass.
Yes.
What is a Hail Mary pass?
It's a last-ditch long bomb. In other words, you're down to the end of a football game, and you've got 80 yards to go, and your quarterback just hurls it up and says a quick Hail Mary and hopes for the best.
And they do that in elections, too, which is why I use the term. Sometimes.
Now, explain what they're doing.
Well, when they're losing, they say something, Hillary Clinton took money or something like that at the last day. They make that stuff up, and that's a Hail Mary attempt.
Doug, the best Hail Mary example, if you want to go watch it in sports, look up Doug Flutie's Hail Mary pass to win a football game against Miami way back in the 80s, where they were on the 40-50-yard line, and the game was over, and he reared back from midfield and threw it up into the end zone, and everyone dives up for it, and some guy from Boston College caught it in the end zone, and they beat Miami.
Yeah.
I believe it was Miami, right? And so that's it's the last second. The game's really over, but you just pray and you throw it up
and
there.
There was an article on this. I read it within the last couple of weeks, and I want to say it goes back to the 70s and the Cowboys. I think Roger Staubach is somehow connected to the original Hail Mary story, but maybe I can find it on the internet while we're going here. But Maxine, thanks a lot.
Sounds to me like something that would be invented at Notre Dame.
Ah, well, yeah, maybe Eric Hill.
He went to Navy, though, you know.
He did. Let's look it up here. Jim in Holyoke. Jim, you're on.
Hey, I just have a comment about the excessive money in sports. It seems like, you know, with the free market economy, supply and demand, I don't think it's ever going to change. But there must be some economic model somewhere where there must be a better system. I mean, the only other, I think, system to make it more equitable would be taxation, which, you know, it's not necessarily a popular idea per se, but, you know, progressive taxes on people that are making that much money. But there has to be some better economic model to pay the athletes, because it just seems so excessive.
Are we talking about the college athletes?
Well, professional athletes, but college, you know, it's funny because on the contrary, I think they should get some compensation. Now, yeah, they get scholarships. But, you know, I know when I was in college, you know, I had opportunities to have paid internships and work part-time jobs. And you know, the athletes at that level of Division I, they probably don't have the time to do that. So I think there should be some type of financial compensation, you know, to keep them focused, to reward them for the efforts that they're giving. You know, maybe $10,000 or something, you know, something that I could earn in a part-time job going to school full-time.
And wouldn't it be nice maybe to incentivize some of these athletes to stay around an extra year? This Michigan team that beat my Gators, that is a nice-looking young college basketball team. And, boy, they would be good next year.
Yeah.
And
you're not going to ask you about that. I saw that somebody stayed into some sport while in graduate school. Is that possible?
So sometimes because you have five years of eligibility, they have to find a way to keep you in school. So they enroll you in a graduate program or didn't Matt Leinart take a
I believe
like
one
a
of the quarterbacks
class.
Did,
he
yeah.
took like a dancing class. But they have to find a way to keep you in school. So they put you in graduate school. Now,
in dancing class.
Well, something like that.
Good stuff. Yeah.
He was nimble. It helps
Jim,
you.
Thanks a lot for the and call. By the way, Alan, you are correct about Notre Dame. The original Hail Mary goes back to the 20s and a game that Notre Dame played against Georgia Tech, and the players were praying before each of their touchdowns. And then later in the 30s, once again, Ohio State and Notre Dame, was so-called game of the century in 1935, 19-yard pass that the coach afterwards called a Hail Mary play. So you were right. I don't know how you were right, but you were right.
It was divine intervention.
I love it when he says something like, I don't know how you were right, but you were right.
1-800-348-2551. Lee in Ulster. Lee, you're on.
Boy, I am just bubbling with opinions here, guys, particularly about uncompensated college players. But the thing that got me on the phone was Alan's point about football. 30 years ago, I worked in a health club. We had this huge guy show up one summer for a couple of weeks to lose some weight who was just a mass of scar tissue. And he was a professional football player whose job was to bump into the guy in front of him when the ball got snapped.
Exactly.
And basically, as a nothing but a body, the day that he got cut, he was on his own. His
you
own
bet.
Health insurance.
You bet.
His own. I mean, he was going to live the rest of his life in pain.
Yeah.
That ain't right.
Once the medication stopped, it was over. He was going to live the rest of his life on what he had managed to put in the bank, and that was it. It was over for him.
The veterans are suing the NFL, and there is all kinds of motion now to make that better for the guys who have played all these years and had that exact problem. And I believe they're working on that.
You know what?
And I think that with reference to the money and the kind of conversations you guys have been having, there is really a tier system in sports in a kind of way that players who are basically there to support who aren't going to make the headlines need to be compensated better. The guys that create all the headlines maybe need to take a bit of a
which
haircut
is interesting,
so that other people get paid.
Which is interesting because in baseball, correct me if I'm wrong, I know you will, guys, and you, Ali, I have to tell you, in baseball, the guys who aren't the stars still get a lot of money.
They get a lot of money, and there's bottoms on what they're allowed
minimum.
To be paid.
Yeah,
but there's big discrepancies.
Wasn't that a result of the lawsuit where they wanted
flood.
To get compensated better?
Absolutely, it all stems back to that. You know, in the old days, you got whatever the owner said. Yeah,
right.
So, look, there's like I said, the Astros, the highest paid player on the Astros is making $3 million. That's, I mean, I don't want to say pennies.
I take it.
I know. You get that though.
Yeah, that's right.
The fun drive.
Don't say that in front of the president. That's a good point. Lee, thanks a lot. We're going to get another call in here. Willie in Schenectady. Willie.
Yes, guys, I have three quickies. First one, do you think that Australian-style football, since it doesn't wear equipment, could be the ultimate evolution of American football? Number two, could you explain why they eliminated the headgear in amateur boxing? And just a note, you guys talked about hockey. At one time, hockey and professional basketball were equals, and it seems that the owners of professional basketball gave way to the players and coaches, and they continued to evolve, whereas in hockey, they held on to their old ways, and they stayed where they are.
I think you make a point.
I'll hang up and listen to your comments.
Good, and we'll let Keith wrap up. Keith, you got about a minute here, and then we got to close this thing.
As for hockey, if you remember back in the 90s, there was a cover of Sports Illustrated that said, hockey, the sport of the 90s, and TV money flowed in. ABC signed a ginormous contract for hockey. When they realized that no one could see the puck and the money, it wasn't worth it, the money went away.
And NBC had Peter Puck. Do you remember him?
No, I don't remember him.
Well,
no.
You did.
Huh. Yeah, but so the money went away. And I think, part of it is basketball's a better TV game. You can watch the players.
Sure.
They're slower. They're
ball's
more athletic.
Bigger.
Yeah, the ball's bigger, right?
Technology's catching up with hockey. I mean, HD, you can see the puck without any gimmicks of making it glow like they tried in the in the 90s.
Someone in Dallas to go sit inside an arena in July and watch people skate on ice.
It's cool in there, though. That's a plus.
You know, it's cool in malls, too.
Okay, and on that happy note, we say thank you to Keith Strudler, who is with the Marist College Center for Sports Communication. Thanks a lot, Keith. A lot of fun today. Alan, thank you for being with us as well. And, you know, it was not a bad show. Thanks to everybody for calling in.
Yeah.
Thanks to our engineer, Zach Malloy. Our phones were answered by Bruce Herbach. Support comes from Smith College Museum of Art, presenting Collecting Art of Asia, a four-part exhibition celebrating 100 years of Asian art at Smith, from traditional to contemporary, now on view, smith.edu/artmuseum. Stories Nursery, Freehold, New York, providing spring plants, flowers, and landscaping tools and products. Open Monday through Saturday, 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m., Sunday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. A gardener's destination, storiesnursery.com. Cafe La Perche, Hudson, New York. Boulangerie Lounge and Bistro, serving breakfast, lunch, dinner, and weekend brunch. CafeLaParish.com. And Curtis Lumber, providing kitchens, baths, doors, and windows, paint, flooring, and more since 1890, with 21 locations in New York and northern Vermont. CurtisLumber.com. Well, lovely. Thank you, everybody, for being here. This was a great time, and enjoy your Mets baseball, everybody. If you're not a Mets fan, we hope by the next time you call in, you are a Mets fan.
And bring your wife.
Bring your kitties and bring your wife. Guaranteed to have the time of your life. Zach Malloy, over to you.